pretend tonight that I'll be like what Liz Taylor said to her ninth husband, I won't keep you long. Jerome's heard that tale before. Heard the way he groaned in the spirit over that. I will try to be as, I'll be honest, I haven't had much time as I like to put into this thought. And I don't like to preach that way. I like to have some time of meditation and prayer over something before I try to preach it, a little bit of study time. But we are to be instant in season and out of season. And so I'm gonna try to give you at least some of the outline and try to get through it. Let's stand together. Song of Solomon in chapter number 7. Song of Solomon in chapter number 7 tonight. One more time, and I want to begin reading in verse 7. In fact, that's all I want to read is verse number 7. For the Bible said, this thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that text. If you'll pray with me, I'll try to bring a simple little old thought, and it may take me longer to get to the thought than the thought itself, but we'll give it the best that we can. All right. Our Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the singing tonight, the good fellowship. Thank You for Your people and for the day that we have and the hour that's ours to assemble together in the house of God. I pray, Father, that You'd bless Thy Word tonight, anoint it, anoint Your preacher and help me give some liberty in the service. I pray You'll give me some wisdom and some light as we and direct us, Lord, as we move through the thought that You've laid upon our heart. I pray that sinners will be saved tonight. God's people will find grace and strength to help in a time of need. I pray they'll be encouraged and blessed and enlightened in the Scriptures. As we study together, may we learn together for Thy honor and Thy glory. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. Now, I want to call our attention this evening to the very first part of verse number 7. Where the Bible says there, this thy stature is like to a palm tree. This thy stature is like to a palm tree. And I want to preach for a little while, if I can get to the thought tonight, on this thought. I might bend with the wind, but it will not break. I might bend with the wind, but I will not break. In this verse, the stature of the church is likened to a palm tree. This thy stature, he says, is like a palm tree. This statement is a comprehensive view of the bride. And is manifest by the parts that is mentioned in the preceding verses. In other words, he said, in your fullness and your completeness, your stature is like a palm tree. Speaking about the church of the living God. And the above parts that he mentioned there takes in the whole concept of the church. What the church is made up of. How she is made up. And he said that your makeup or your stature is like a palm tree. Now the members of this church here are all set in their proper places and in a great proportion are said to look very beautiful and very comely. I want to run that by you again. He is referring to the church of the living God. And he said that when all of your parts are proportioned together and they're functioning in their proper places, that your stature is like unto a palm tree. And I want to liken the church tonight for a little while, if God will help me, to that palm tree. If you know anything about palms, and they, you know, they grow in some places that I don't want to live in, I'll just be honest. I saw some in Arizona, hot, a sunny climate all the time, and I've seen them in Florida. I've seen them in some of the islands and some of the climates that they grow in, and naturally speaking, I wouldn't want to live there. But God does say that we are like that palm tree. I'll never forget years ago, Miss Hall and I was down on one of the sides. It may have been over on the ocean side in Florida. And we drove down this boulevard. I don't know what the name, I don't remember the name of the city, which one of them it was. But I remember driving down this one particular boulevard, and it was lined on both sides with palm trees. I'd never seen anything like it. For their absolute, their height and their uprightness, it just seemed like that they continued to grow upward, 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 and upward. And I want to say to you, church, that's exactly how the church of the living God ought to be. We ought to continue just to grow upward and upward and upward and upward. And so the palm tree's height and its straightness may indicate the majestic glory or the majesty of that church. You know, I think that we've forgotten tonight that we are the bride of a king. That we are the bride of the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I don't say that royal blood flows through our veins like the song in there says, but I will say that we have been birthed into royalty. And like that palm tree, my friend, is high, it is straight, it is upright, it grows very straight upward, may be indicative of the majestic glory or the majesty that has been bestowed upon you and I. Buddy, I tell you, when I think about where I came from and what I am now, I can't hardly contain myself. When I realize that God brought me out of poverty and set me in a wealthy place, spiritually speaking, and made me a child of God, I just can't hardly contain myself. The Bible said, in fact, that he that was rich became poor that we might be made the riches of God in him. I'm glad, thank God, that we're not paupers tonight and we're not beggars tonight. We have been birthed into the royal, glorious family of Almighty God. Bless his wonderful name. John said in Revelation 18, he said, let us be glad and rejoice. That'd be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Why, Brother Hall? For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Amen and amen. And his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I'm telling you, son, there's coming a day when we that have been espoused to Christ are going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Friend, we have been birthed into a royal family, and we are forever growing upward. Hallelujah to God. It points upward because that's the direction we're going in. That is right. Now that palm tree's height and straightness might not only refer to its majesty, but its uprightness. I believe the people of God should not just only be upright, but I believe that grace will make us upright. We're going to walk, my friend, like we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, sir. Just like that little old woman in the Gospels that was all humped over and had been bound by Satan, I believe he said, all these years, and Christ touched that little old woman and loosed that bond and she straightened up. I want to say tonight on the authority of the Word of God, it's time that some of you straighten up. He said you're like a palm tree, and a palm tree is straight and erect, and the gospel of the grace of God has made us straight in Him, upright in the Lord Jesus. Time some of you straightened up. Amen. We're not camels. We don't have humps, son. We're palm trees. Tall and straight, ever reaching upward to the throne of Him that redeemed us by His marvelous grace. The Bible said in Psalm 84:11, many remember what that says. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from him that walketh uprightly. I want to ask something. Somebody said, I'm not having many good things tonight. Maybe it's because you're walking a little sidewinder style. A little crooked in your walk. He said He would not withhold one good thing from a man or a woman that walks uprightly. And that palm tree is a type of the uprightness that had the saints of God possessed in their bosom. Amen. That palm tree, get this now. One commentator said the palm tree will grow straight and upright even though it has many weights hung upon it. You can't bend it, friend. I don't care how much weight you hang on a palm tree. As it grows, it'll grow straight. Somebody, look here. We want to be held down with every little weight and every little sin that does so easily beset us, and be all bowed over and stooped over and humped over because of a few little weights, a little persecution, a little trouble, a little trial, and we're humped over like that old humped over woman is. Amen. Son, you cannot keep a palm tree from growing straight. Now listen carefully to me. You remember Israel when God brought them up out of the land of Egypt? And in Exodus chapter number 1, when He was talking about bringing them up, the Bible said the more that they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, you hang weights and afflictions on a child of God, they'll just keep growing straight like that palm tree. But I'm telling you, some of you will let every little bump in the road jostle your apple cart, friend, and throw you out. That's right. Say amen. And throw you out of joint and bend you out of joint and cause your countenance to fall and to stoop all over like you're under a load. But I'm telling you, a palm tree will go on growing even if they are afflicted. Amen. Don't leave me now. I want to say the vital, get this now, the vital force of a palm tree is not in the root. It's in the top of it. That's where its power is at, is in those leaves on the top. You top a palm tree, cut the top off, and it will die, friend. Because it draws its strength somehow from that top of those leaves and those, that, and that is where its fruit, the things are located. On the top of that palm tree. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, praise God, we draw our strength from our head. We are upright because our head is upright. And we are strengthened by our head who is already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to say fourthly, the leaves of a palm tree are always green. Always green. What's he say about that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful? What's he say about that man? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. I've done, thank God, that there is a season for fruit. But the Bible goes on to say, his leaf also shall not wither. He said, your stature is like a palm tree. Bless God, that leaf ain't even going to wither.
It's not even going to dry up. I'm telling you, we're planted by the rivers of water, friend, drawing strength from the head, and we may not always have fruit, but we'll always be green, whether we're in season or out of season. Amen to God. I know that's right. I said this, the palm tree flourishes best in warm, sunny climates. That's why we need to find our lives under the beams of the sun of righteousness. That's right. Walk in under the sunny beams of the Son of God and His righteousness. Hallelujah. Warm. I tell you, it's time. Some of you let Christ warm your hearts tonight. Amen. Ain't no wonder we're not upright, and no wonder we're not green, and no wonder we're not fruitful and productive. Maybe we've gotten out from an under the sunlight of the love of God, friend. Amen. I want to be in the courts of God. I tell you, in the courts of God, friend, it's where we'll flourish if we're planted in the house of God. I remember some time ago, we was in Mexico, Miss Ruth back there. I had too, I'll be honest. I prayed about going to Mexico. Miss Ruth back there was praying about taking off and going to Mexico. And I don't know if somebody preached it or they sang a song or what it was, but she came back and told me, said, "Preacher, said God told me to bloom where I'm planted."
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, that'd be a good word for you, friend. If God has planted you here, bloom in the house of God where God planted you. Don't look outside the house of God, but be like a palm tree planted in the house of God and bloom right there where God has put you. Get this now. The branches, come on, deadheads. The branches of a palm tree are used as tokens of joy and emblems of victory. When they set the Lord on that little old donkey on an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass, and started him down in Jerusalem, they broke the palm tree limbs off the palm trees. And they strawed the way as he rode down into Jerusalem. And the disciples cried out, "Blessed! Blessed is the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That Pharisaical crowd said, "Why don't you tell your disciples to hold their peace?" And the Lord said, "I tell you, if they held their peace, that the very rocks of the earth would cry out in praise to God." Now I'm telling you, friend, he said we're like a palm tree, and the praise God inhabits, the praises of Israel. God help us for setting on our blessed assurance when we could be given praise and glory to our God. He said that we ought to. If we're like that palm tree, we will. Some of y'all ain't shouting so long, I don't think you know how. Can I ask you why? You didn't run well. Who did hinder you? I didn't say what. I said who. That's what Paul said in Galatians. You didn't run well. Who did hinder you? Somebody say something bad about you? Somebody criticize you, shout and make you feel bad? Somebody tell you it was ungodly, or did somebody tell you it was in the flesh? He said her stature. Son's quiet now, and I'm glad. Her stature is like a palm tree. And those palm leaves, son, are emblems of joy and triumphant victory. And bless God, if we have got victory in the Lord, then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Man, I won't charge you nothing for that. That's right. I remember the only two times I ever heard my wife shout. Back in Jubilee 1996, them two girls of ours stood up here and sang, "I've got a goodly heritage."
Amen.
Say, "I've got a daddy that prays or stands for the truth or something, and a mama that prays." And son, I'm telling you,
It was on. The Spirit was high in this place. It was on, son. Miss Hall, come down off of this side of this platform, stopped right over there, and I can still see her. Woo! I said, was that my wife? Was that my wife? Somebody said, oh, you oughtn't to carry on like that. I tell you, the praises of God are comely. Let us worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Son, you can sit, do what you want to do, but as for me and my heart, I can't save a house, but as for me and my heart, we shall praise the Lord. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. I don't want no rock praising God for me. I don't remember when it was, but wasn't nobody in this building but Brother Doug and myself, Brother Aubrey Brown and my wife. And son, I'm telling you, God got in that little old room back there. And Brother Brown, you know how he is. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And I was still in there and I heard something. Woo! I said, is that Brother Brown? He sure has got a feminine voice. That don't sound like choo-choo, but I come out of that middle door and there come my wife up this aisle just to shout and praising God like a wild woman. Somebody said, preacher, is that wrong? Oh, no. I'd like to see some more of it. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you want some excitement. Bless God, I'm saved. I am excited. I'm going to glory. My pay. I'm moving upward, son. I'm reaching after the one that saved me by His marvelous grace. Everything that grows, grows up. And it grows up to give praise to the one that give them life, my friend. That's why trees grow up. You don't see trees growing down, do you?
That's right. Amen.
Huh? Somebody said, you can leave that alone. I know you'd like me to. Amen to God. Get this now. A palm tree never rots.
Amen.
I ate in a pancake house, the log house restaurant in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They got a thing in there about on the menu or on the wall about that house. They built it, the cedar, the beams in it is made out of cedar that they found in houses in Kentucky and Tennessee that was built back in the 1800s. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend, you couldn't tell them. From a brand new log.
Amen.
Not cedar. What's them trees over in my yard? Poplar. Poplar beans. They won't hardly rot, son. They've been around 150, 60 years, some of them. But I'm telling you that a palm tree, after 30 years, begins to bear fruit and will bear fruit for 70 years. Bearing fruit. And then when that tree finally quits bearing fruit, it just won't rot.
Amen.
No wonder he said, thy stature, your makeup, your frame, your form, you're like a palm tree. I'm glad, thank God, that I've been called by God the Father, sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, preserved in the Holy Ghost, and said, I ain't got no air bubble in my seal either, bless your heart. I am heaven bound with a hammer down, glory to God.
Amen.
But the point I want to dwell on and give you something on just for a minute, and I won't be but a minute. The point I want to dwell on for just a minute is the tree's ability to stand against great forces of wind, even of hurricane magnitude. You ever given thought to that? Now, I've not always been as sanctified as I am now. I used to have a television set. And I've seen some of those hurricanes as they moved in across the Florida Keys. And I've seen them, they talk about the winds being 110, 115, 120 miles an hour. And see pictures of them big palm trees, son. And they are just a bending.
Yeah. I saw them bend in the wind. But I never seen enough pressure put on them.
But they'd break.
I've never seen one of them uprooted. I've never seen one of them broken. I've seen them bent, son, but never broke.
Are you listening to me? I hope so. For one thing, there's no limbs on them for that wind to get into. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we ought to get rid of some of the excess baggage we carry around. I'm going to tell you what will break your tree, son, is all of the mess that some of us carry around with us all the time. Limb here and a limb there. Oh, we're likened to other trees. We're likened to cedar trees and we're likened to oak trees. That oak is for its stability and its strength and its powerful might, and that's what we are. And a cedar tree is almost, it just won't rot and it has such a fragrant odor. But I'm telling you, palm tree, son, can take the wind of hurricane magnitude and she might bend in the wind, but she'll never break. I'm going to tell you what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said he is under so much pressure, that we were pressed out of measure. You understand what Paul's saying? Paul's saying the trials, the tribulations, the temptations were so hard, so extremely difficult. He said, I was pressed out of measure. In other words, his form got shifted a little bit. But he never broke under the load, friend. Oh, we may bend. But we ain't going to break. Somebody said, preacher, we're living under a lot of pressure. Well, I know we are. We're in hurricane force winds right now in the church. Trials, troubles, temptations. Preachers at home, preachers on the job, preachers in the church. Financial pressures, family pressures, you name it, Sunday pressure. And the wind is a-blowing, but I've got, thank God, that I might bend, but I will. I want to say this, I might bend, but I will not bow.
Amen.
And I will not break.
Amen.
In other words, I'm not abound to the devil and his crowd.
Amen.
Them Hebrew boys wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Nebuchadnezzar said, dance to the tune of my music or you'll burn. They said, we might, but we ain't dancing to the tune of your music, sir. I'm glad I can report to you, Nebby, old boy, that I'm a born-again Baptist. And you might cast me in the furnace, but I am not about to break under your pressure to cave in to the temptations of the world that's around me. I'm not a caving in to the temptation to listen to rock music. I'm not listening to country and western music. I'm not buying a television set. Said something about it. Brother Jerome said, Mama said, the old brother Ricky over there said, you know, at Hollywood. Out of televisions, out of Hollywood. I said, Brother Jerry, I said, I'll be honest. I've been praying about getting me one to just keep up on the news with. He said, Brother Hall, you know better than that. Son, I'm going to tell you something. If you see one in my house, it'll be because I ain't got enough energy to kick it out the front door.
Yeah,
I'll be old and decrepit, and if Miss Hall, I'll try to pray down wrath on her. Son, there's always somebody around to tempt you. We didn't have TV and got out to Arizona. Folks out there said, do you mean them children don't have a television? Here comes some woman carrying in a little old television. And I said, man, well, I want that television. She said, it's just a little one. I said, that's the same thing Lot said about that city. It's just a little one. No wanting area. Wind's blowing. Thy stature, this.
What he just named before, friend, the navel and the belly and the breast and the neck and the eyes and the nose, they're all that stature. This thy stature, exactly what I've described to you. This, he said, is like a palm tree that'll bend with the wind, but you won't break. Amen. I'm about half mad at the devil, and I didn't have to watch Madonna to do it yet that way either, buddy. Amen. In Matthew 7:25, is a house built on a rock. The Bible said the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. The winds blew. But that palm tree house, son, would not yield to the winds. Why? Because it was built on a rock. God, help us to be strong today, church. Fight those pressures. Amen. You ain't left me yet, have you now? The child of God has the strength to stand against the winds of temptation, troubles, and trials. And when the wind ceases, be yet as rooted in Christ as we was before the storm ever arrived. Woo! Now I'm going to name five times of wind in the Bible. And I'm done. Now, I would to God that I'd had more time to develop some of the thoughts. But they shall suffice us for tonight. I want to say, first of all, that there is an unexpected wind.
Amen.
What are you going to do when without warning? I'm talking about suddenly, son, out of nowhere. All hell breaks loose in your family. What are you going to do when everything is cruising along fine? Things are going great, but all of a sudden, unexpectedly, your life, your world is turned upside down on you. Is it going to break you or bend you? Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't understand what you're talking about." I'm going to tell you what, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Job. And Job seemed to be doing just fine. All at once a fellow said, "Job, I hate to tell you this, but the Savior's come down. Your camels are dead, your ox is dead, your sheep are dead." And said, "By the way, Job," said, I hate to report this to you, but while the other man was speaking, another one came and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness."
Amen.
From the wilderness! "And smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they're dead, Job, they're dead. Seven sons and three boys, and they're dead." I'm sure Job might have thought in his heart, "How can this be happening? Why is it happening? Just yesterday, oh nay, Lord, just 10 minutes ago, Lord, everything was going fine. And now my life is in a mess." Can I share this with you? Job was not privy to the conversation that had been taking place in heaven between the devil and the Lord. You don't know what's been taking place up there. You don't know, hey, the devil had already said, the Lord said, "You considered my servant." He said, "Where'd you come from, Satan?" He said, "Walking to and fro on the earth and up and down in it." The Lord said, "You considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. He fears God. He eschews evil. And there ain't another man like him. He had plenty of money, but money wasn't a problem for him." And I won't say that, are you listening to me? But he had a family of 10 children. I want you to get this well. The Bible said that Job continually offered sacrifice for those children his. That is, my friend, a type of worship. A type of prayer. He prayed and divinely intervened every day lest one of his children should sin against God. And the very object of his prayer.
is where he got broadsided. The very thing that he was praying for is the very place he got hit. Are you listening to me? And I'm sure when it happened, Job might have said, Lord, I've been praying for my children. And I thought, sure, you promised me all's well. Unexpected wind.
Amen.
Now I'm trying to hurry. I want to ask you something. What would you do if unexpected wind, an unexpected storm, I mean just out of the wilderness, out of nowhere, smack you and your family?
Amen.
Can I tell you what Job done? And it's far from this church. Far from it and foreign. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and kicked like a spoiled brat. He fell down upon the ground and worshipped.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm going to tell you why the troubles and the trials get some of y'all down. You don't know how to worship. This church does not know how to worship. And look here. When Job rent his mantle, fell down upon the ground, where did he fall? On the ground. He identified himself from whence he was taken as being the weaker vessel. He got right down to the earth that he was made out of and said, Lord, I'm weak. And Lord, I'm weary. And Lord, I'm waiting on you. And there's no more that I can do but worship while awake. And I'm telling you, in the storms, friend, there is nothing you can do but worship while you wait. Because when the wind, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You don't have a bit of control over the storms and the wind in your life and the winds that blow in your life. Are you getting anything at all? Worship your way out of it. He said, I'm weak. And I'm waiting. And he worshiped. But get this. But he did not wilt. I believe some of you turned me off a minute ago. But that's all right. You might turn me off, but I ain't turned off. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told that woman over in that nursing home back in 1981. I was preaching in a nursing home at Calhoun. A lady named Bertha had been in there every service. She had a place in her head. It looked like something had hit her, and it was a sunk-in place in her head. And up here, and she had a big scar there. They rolled Bertha. I'd come in there and preach, and been doing it for several weeks. I went in there one morning to preach, and they brought Bertha out there to all the other folks. And I started to preach, and Bertha said, "Turn him off!" The nurse said, "Bertha, now hush up." I started preaching. She said, "Turn him off!" And I said, "Bertha, I love you, but I said, I don't have a knob that you can control. God controls my knob, Bertha." And when they rolled her in the wheelchair down the hallway, she was still a hollering, "Turn him off!" And guess what? I was still a preaching. Still a preaching. Are you listening to me? The wind didn't wilt it. The wind didn't break it. His wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He said, "You talk like a foolish woman. I got my mind made up, lady. I got my foot on the rock." Hallelujah. I see the Indians is getting a little restless. I want to say that there is unexpected winds. Secondly, there is useful winds. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Jonah. And the Bible said that God told Jonah to go down to Nineveh and preach to that wicked city. But old Jonah, being the sorry culprit that he was, went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and got on. But once he got on, the Bible said the Lord sent a great east wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken.
Now come on in the house, children. Somebody said, what is that? What was that wind useful for? Jonah was headed in the wrong direction. And when God sent the wind, friend, it changed his course of travel. I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight that may be headed in the wrong direction. In other words, you may be running away from God. You may be backsliding on God, trying to get away from God. God may have to send some useful wind in your life to turn you around and get you on the right course. He can do that. He can do that. Some good, useful wind. Get some of you headed back on the right course. Huh? Somebody said, did he break? Oh, no. Son, I'm telling you, that wind got so rough, they threw him overboard and a whale swallowed him up. But bless your heart, God prepared the whale, sent him off. The whale spit him up and he went on down to Nineveh and preached the Word of God. I wonder how many preachers. I remember when I went through Bible college, I said, I'm graduating after 3 years. Dr. Russell Rice got up and said, Jonah, you're jumping ship. Jonah, I said, call me whatever you want. I've had enough. I'm educated, all the education I need, buddy. But I wasn't running from God. I was running to God. God had said, go to Tucson, Arizona and preach the gospel, buddy. Amen to God. I was already on the right course. But I wonder how many preachers. I wonder how many men are on the wrong course tonight. Now, I'm going to turn this off right quick. What are you saying, preacher? Well, tell you what I'm saying. There's a whole lot of men. Son, that they're headed in the wrong direction. They have backed up on God, taken on water. There's a whole lot of churches that's backed up and taken on water and let down their stand. And they're headed in the wrong direction. And God may be sending some wind in this church to try to get some of your course changed just a little bit. You got a compass? And when I was in Vietnam, I could take a compass, find north, south, east, west, any grid you wanted me to find, and put an artillery round down your guzzler pipe with that compass. Yeah. Amen. They need me over. I put one down Bin Laden. You know why? Because I'd take the biggest thing they got, and that'd be the end of the line for him, buddy.
Amen.
A lot of that other crowd. I wouldn't have to aim it too good. Amen. Useful winds. I'm trying to hurry. I want to say I find in the Word of God some unnecessary winds. Old Paul in Acts chapter number 27 is on his way to Rome. And a storm begins to blow. And Paul tells the captain of the ship and the others said, we need to stay right where we're at. And the captain of the ship said, no, you need to just move on! And I'm telling you, they minded the captain of the ship, and it wasn't long after that until a great tempestuous storm hit that sea. Are you listening? And when Paul, after a long absence, came up on the ship, and he said, brethren, get this now, you should have listened to what I had to say and not to loose from Crete. That storm was unnecessary, church. They brought it on themselves. There is God's man saying, don't sail! Don't do that! How many times have you heard Brother Hall tell folks, don't do that! And they go right on contrary to everything the man of God says and do just opposite, and the winds are the blowing and buddy. I'm telling you, you need to...
to find somebody to blame it on. And I'm not trying to be ugly or unkind. I'm just telling you a fact. And what I've heard lately, there's some of you right in here that's creating your own storm. You create your own problem. Paul, and Paul wasn't rubbing it in, son. He just said, you ought to listen to what I have to say. And the little storm should have warned him of the big storm. It wasn't many days after that your rock lid on set in on them. Now I'm telling you, the little storm ought to, my friend, ought to let you know that there's a bigger storm if you stay on course. Change it. Change the course. Come on in the house. I won't charge you nothing. Unnecessary winds. I'm not going to Scripture with these next two. But I'm floating. I want to say there's untimely winds. You ever been just having a real bad day? I'm talking about when nothing was going right, everything seemed to be going wrong, and you had the blues to begin with. You know what I'm saying? You just had the rainy day Mondays. You ever had them? And on that rainy day Monday, all of a sudden the telephone rings or somebody knocks on the door, a bill collector calls, this, that, and boom-o! Why, bless this, if it would have just took place yesterday, I'd have been all right.
Amen.
Why is it taking place today?
Amen.
Untimely wind.
Amen.
Hear them winds are blowing. Bend. I might bend, but I won't break.
Amen.
You ever had any of them untimely ones?
Amen.
Now, every now and then a good wind. Every now and then it's timely.
Right.
I got in that 92 Roadmaster, ain't had no trouble with it. Got in that thing the first morning of the marathon, me and Brother Thompson. Started backed up and right around my driveway and just started to make a turn. And it said, pop, and it just died. I said, well, whoa. Put her back up and park. Lights come back on. I hit her again, started, pulled her back down and drove it. Didn't drive it 10 feet and it said, pop. And it just, I mean, we couldn't even get out of it. It was locked. I couldn't even get out the door. But I was sitting right in the driveway. I said, old Brother Doug said, praise God, I'm glad this happened here and not over around Louisville somewhere, preacher. I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
But I guarantee you, old Brother Mark got some untimely wind tonight.
Amen.
I don't know where he's at, what happened to him. Yeah. Mark would have been here if he'd had some trouble, car trouble, hit a deer or something. I guarantee you'd have been here.
Right.
Untimely. Amen. Just seemed like the devil, don't he know just how to broadside you just at the time when, I mean, it just seemed like, and here we are. That's the trial that broke the camel's back.
Amen.
I can't take no more. Yes, you can. Your stature, this thy stature is like a palm tree. Yeah, you can take some more. You can take more. You'd be amazed at what our human bodies and what our brains can stand and the kind of pressure that we can live under. They told Billy Wicks 4 years ago he's going to die in a year, and he's still alive, friend. You'd be amazed at what you can take. We're so soft. We're worrying about the economy. Oh, the economy. You know why they're worried about the economy? They like to drive new automobiles and live in good homes. And we all do now, don't we? But I'm going to tell you something. You can live in four rooms in a one-seater out back if you have to. You can draw well water if you have to.
Amen.
You can eat beans and potatoes 3 times a day if you have to.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, it's maybe a little uncomfortable, you know, but you can do it.
Amen.
Untimely winds.
Amen.
Then I want to say, closing, it's what I call unavoidable winds. They just some things sometimes that you just try to avoid, keep away from. Battles in the church, confrontations. You just try to tiptoe and ease and everything you do, but it just will not resolve itself.
Amen.
and those unavoidable winds. I'm going to tell you, when them unavoidable winds are coming, in any wind, I'm going to tell you what you got to do. Turn your face into the storm and go straight into it.
Amen.
If you run from it, you're done. If you turn broadside, you'll capsize.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you just can't avoid it. It just comes down to a shootout. Okay, corral, buddy.
Amen.
I might bend with the wind, but I ain't going to break.
Amen.
This, thy stature, just what I said about you, this makes you like a palm tree. Let hurricane force winds blow. They said that hurricane Linda, what is it, Linda?
Michelle.
That's just like a woman. Went across Cuba and left it sitting. If it had been a man, it would put her under, buddy.
Amen.
Women's too sympathetic. It'd been George. Billy.
Amen.
Wayne. Shelby. Leroy. Wouldn't been nothing left to Cuba. How about if there's any storm, any wind blowing in your life? This thy stature.
Amen.
You're like a palm tree. Let's stand together. I tried to preach to you.